kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And we're calling the teaching today, The Cross Divides. The Cross Divides. And I want to take our teaching today from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 12. That's what we're really going to be looking at, but we will look at other verses as well as the Lord leads. So our teaching today, The Cross Divides. Heavenly Father, help us to hear by the Spirit and not just the mere intellect. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. The Cross Divides. I will take this up from verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These are quite profound statements the apostle is giving here, and he is going right to the root of how we know and we understand and we learn the mysteries of God. And here he raises the most profound teaching that we have in the Word of God. This is the center. This is the root. Without what he's raising here, we have no gospel. We have no good news. We have no future. And what we've read here clearly illustrates why I've called this today, The Cross Divides. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. And what is this mystery that we speak about here that he's raising? It's the cross. You see, the cross of Christ divides the whole world into two groups. Those who understand and those who don't. And that is what he's raising here. You see, we know this because, as we've just read, had they known that they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. Had they known? Had they known whom they were putting to the cross, this innocent man, they wouldn't have done it. And there is the dividing line that runs through the course of history. And that dividing line, the cross that divides, is the same cross today and that divides. And it is dividing even through this message that I give. Had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. You see, the cross is the person that is on it that has to be revealed. You can have a cross, and many were crucified on crosses. We know that they were the vilest, the scum of the earth were put to the cross. We know that. It was one of the cruelest forms of that the Romans gave out. But it's not just merely the cross. Else we could think of any cross, any person that was crucified. No, it was the one who was on the cross. And you cannot leave that out. You see, there are still two groups today, and we see why this divides. Because he speaks about it being a mystery. It's a mystery. And why does it divide into two sections? Why does the cross come to divide? Why does it divide in family life? Why does it divide in society? Why does it divide in life? What is this cross all about? I want to emphasize this because this is going to help you to understand why you too take your cross up daily and follow Christ. I still think we don't fully understand because we are ever learning about the mystery that is behind this. You see, many simply see it firstly as some mere man that died upon the cross. If you were to go and talk amongst people in society, although it's becoming more rare now because we are so pagan, we are falling away, but an average amount of people, if you were to refer to the cross, they would tell you, oh yes, I believe Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. But that's about all they know. They know him merely as a man. They don't know any more because it's not revealed. They don't really know who Jesus Christ is. They know him from history. They know that he was a good man and probably an innocent man, but it goes no further than that. So that's the first point where the idea of this mystery that comes in. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. And secondly, human wisdom. Human wisdom cannot understand this. Philosophy cannot understand this. An education, university, degrees, a professorship, whatever you may have, you will not understand this. And they attempt to try and discover, and you have myriads of theological books trying to discover and understand this mystery. And you can't find it by searching. You can't find it by investigating. You can't find it by being a historian or going back and trying to understand the cross and what it meant and so on. You won't find it. And yet people labour tirelessly, theologians labour tirelessly to try and understand the cross, failing to see that it has to divide. It's amazing, isn't it, that we live in an age of discovery. in an age of inventions, although many of the inventions now are evil. But nevertheless, we have a history of discovery and still learning and inventions. Some of them are not all evil, bad. The natural things of many, the things of many that people know and understand and look at, they still don't understand. Why? Because it's a revelation from God. Only God can reveal these things. Only God can reveal today in this room. And we are completely dependent upon Him revealing to us, because we do not know. We think we know. We rely on our intellect, our intelligence, our education, or the books that I've read, or even how much I've read the Bible and remembered the verses. We still do not know unless God reveals. Because the apostle goes right to the root, to the problem. It is a mystery. And that should humble every one of us. This should cause us to fall on our faces before the cross, where the level is ground for all of us. Many are trying to discover and study and understand. And they come to a conclusion that the cross is simply an invention. It was God's tool in which to deal with sin. It's infinitely more than that. They cannot receive the things of the Spirit unless it is spiritually discerned and given. Well, my third point that I come to with regard to the cross divides. The cross can only be understood, as I've already laboured now, by revelation. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. It has to be the Spirit that searches. It has to be the Spirit that teaches us. It has to be the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that rightly divides, that pierces asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. This is why the Word challenges us. This is why the Word divides. It searches out. It goes deep into crevices and areas that we don't even know. Why? Because we are made in the image of God. You do not know yourself. You think you do, but you don't. And this is why we're made a new creation in Christ. And we are on an eternal journey now that will never come to an end. What God has placed within us is eternity. And throughout eternity, we will ever continue to learn more and more the mystery of the cross of Christ. It will never come to an end. The mind and thinking and heart that was behind God in reconciling the world unto Himself. It's a mystery. And only the Spirit can teach us, even in this life, what we need to know. And this is why He searches. And we don't like the Spirit that searches. It's easier to run away. It's easier to hide, because at times it's so painful. But the pain, all the pain is simply pride that's being exposed. And that is what offends us. And when we start to realize this, this is the cleansing work of the Spirit of God working in us, searching, so that we can understand a little more of this mystery that's being revealed. And that's why the Spirit came to teach us who about Christ, the one who hung on that cross. And that is the most important thing. You leave him out of the equation, or you make him second to the cross, you will not understand. It's the one who hung, who was placed on that cross. That is what's so important. Well, that brings me fourthly with regard to the cross that divides. When the cross is revealed to us, it's completely opposite to what we think or what we thought. Your idea of the cross, and much of your idea of the cross, was what you saw in churches or hanging around people's necks, or crosses that can be placed as monuments or on gravestones. That was about your understanding of an idea of what you thought the cross was. And we have to see it in new eyes. And what we see now by the Spirit, we see now that this is the center of the glory of God. It is the center. It is the theme. It is the foundation to the Christian faith. And your eyes are open to this. It's the most profound, central theme to the world. There is nothing greater to the world and the revelation and our understanding of this world and everything we see, even the glory of God, even when we look up into the heavens and the stars and everything that we see created by God. It is nothing in compared to the cross that is central in our lives. And to this gospel that we preach and teach. And we've got it all wrong. And this is why we don't see it go forth in power as it should. But thank God in his mercy and grace, he is revealing the mystery of this cross. What do? We keep looking at it. What are we doing today? We're teaching, we're talking about it. Why? Because we keep coming back to it. You can't deny it. It draws us. Because it's a hidden mystery. And we have to learn more and more about this cross that we are to preach and teach. That is the central theme of the gospel. It is good news to those that were dying. So the question I raise, brothers and sisters, what is the cross to you? You have to answer that one. You have to seek God on that and be honest. Do we glory in the cross? Do we look to the one who was crucified? Or do we look to the three that were crucified? Remember, there were two others as well. Which cross are we looking at? That's the question. Who was the one that wore a crown? And what was that crown? A crown of thorns. The Bible says he went like a lamb to the slaughter. He made no resistance. He was weak. They saw him as a man. They saw him as an imposter. And many see him today, or see him in a completely different way. That's what they were seeing. That was what was going on at Calvary. Another criminal to be crucified in this demeaning way with two others. And even one of them said, "Why don't you get down from the cross if you're God?" And what was happening here? The Lord of glory was being crucified. The Godhead was being crucified. The creator and maker of the heavens and the earth was being crucified, dying at this point. And they didn't know. Their eyes were blinded. And it's exactly the same today. Nothing changes. Nothing new under the sun. They crucify him daily. Why? Because it's a mystery. Deity here is being put to the cross. And here is the mystery. And that's why the world, the rulers who were blinded, they put him to the cross. And it's exactly the same today. Nothing changes. The rulers, the counselors, your politicians, all of them still crucify him. They still reject the message, the good news of the gospel. They want to get Christians, the Christian church, out of the way. Nothing changes. Why? Because it's a mystery. And it has to be revealed by the Spirit. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak all the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." What is he talking about? He's saying here that the cross, the mystery of the cross, brings true unity and fellowship. It's all in the same context. And that is what God is doing with us. It's what he's doing with FGA. There is no basis of fellowship unless the cross is central. That is our fellowship. That is what unites us. I said to you, the cross divides. What does he say in verse 26, 27? "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." The cross exposes. The cross divides. It divides the foolish things of this world, the things of which man prides in and boasts in and relies upon. It divides. And we have to let it do it. And that's why the world just sees him as a mere man. Even the religions, philosophy, most of them believe on Jesus, but they see him as a mere man. An activist, one coming into the world to bring some good, to bring a good message and so forth. That's all their understanding of God is. Because they do not understand the mystery that is being revealed to man through the cross. And this is why the world shows appalling ignorance of spiritual things. It is ignorant to the cross of Christ. Doesn't understand. And they don't understand because it is a mystery and it has to be revealed. And that's why the Bible says the wise of this world are made fools. And that is what the cross does. It will make a fool out of you. It will expose you as a charlatan. It will reveal that you are not really Christian. You only call yourself a Christian. But unless the cross is working in your life and you are bearing the marks of the cross, then it is a mystery. It is something I don't understand. It has to be revealed. We have to understand that the wisdom of this world, and it has its wisdom, the wisdom of this world is always changing. He says, however, we speak the wisdom among those who are mature, yet the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. And that is what happens. The wisdom of this world is changing all the time and they are coming to nothing. It's not going to produce anything. And here we've got an antichrist system being built up, wanting to build a new world, a new order, coming to deceive the world as they will think he's the Messiah. The Jews will receive him as Messiah. And what's happening here? The wisdom of the world is coming to nothing because it's always changing. We want something new. We want a new rulership. We want a new governor or a president. We're always wanting something new because we think that's the answer. And it isn't. We come back to the cross that is the center of the gospel. And this cross divides those who are truly of the Spirit of God and those who are not. And that is why it is foolishness to most in the world. And they only understand it as some ornate thing upon an altar or upon a gravestone or a cross that's hung around a neck. That's all the understanding that they have of the cross of Christ. And here the apostle reveals that this is the center, this is the root to the entire world as we know it today. And Christ triumphed on the cross. And what did he do? He exposed the powers and principalities to the world. He revealed that it will all come to an end. That was one of the great revelations of the cross and the resurrection. And the light of the cross, the message of the cross, revealed that it's all going to come to an end. And make sure that you are in Jesus Christ. How do we know? Here it is in Revelation 18 and verse 9 onwards. Revelation 18 and verse 9 onwards. And here it's under the context of the fall of Babylon. The kings of the earth who commit fornication and live luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city of Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." God is judging here. This is Armageddon. God is putting it now all down. for the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her. For no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble. That's speaking all of the wonders of the world, the seven wonders of the world, what man has created and made. It's all going to fall. The cinnamon, the incense, fragrance oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and chariots, bodies of souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of all these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, such great riches come to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out. They saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, you heavens, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. There you go. God will avenge our enemies, those that persecute, those that despise the gospel, the message of the cross. Look what God is going to do in wrapping up this generation. It is awesome. Fearful. That is what God thinks of it. But it doesn't stop there, the cross. The mystery of the cross is our reconciliation. It is triumphed over death. And this is what it's done. The cross was God's mystery before the world. Did you know that? Before the heavens and the earth were created, before anything, before he spoke the world into being, the cross was the mystery in God's heart and mind. It was the plan of redemption for the world. God's plan being revealed, worked out, worked through. And this is why when you come to the cross, the mystery of the cross is God's plan being revealed and worked out both individually and corporately for the church. It is God's plan being revealed, the cross. It always has been God's wisdom. There was never a time when this was not. It always has been. And not only that, but the mystery of the cross is God's wrath being appeased in reconciling man. In other words, man doesn't have to now try and find and search for God. It's the mercy of God that comes to man. God first loved you. God chose you. And the cross made it possible. And that is why we respond when we hear the word, because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. This is the greatest love ever displayed to mankind, to the world, to the universe. This is the love of God, the mystery of the cross, in reconciling us now back to a holy God. How did God reconcile man to his holiness, his standard? He cannot even look upon sin. No blemish, perfect within himself. How can he reconcile a sinner who's fallen short from the standard of God? How did he do this? The wisdom of the cross is the key. He had to punish sin. The cross, the mystery of the cross, reveals sin being dealt with, punished. Not you, not me. The sin offering, the perfect lamb, being punished for sin. And not only that, but it reveals the mercy of God. The mercy of God being revealed in his fullness to us. That is again the mystery of the cross. And not only that, but it is his wisdom that's being revealed to us. Not the wisdom of the world. They don't understand it. It is reconciliation. The cross is revealing all his attributes, his omniscience, omnipresence. It's revealing God himself. Nothing is left out of God and the revelation and understanding of God through the cross. So, brothers and sisters, what does this do for us? What is this doing now? What is it doing now, this moment, as we hear this? As I was preparing this, it revealed shame in me. It revealed how helpless I am. How I need forgiveness and reconciliation. That is what it exposes in me. That God had mercy. I earned none of this. God opened my eyes. And he opens your eyes, brothers and sisters. And not only that, it not only reconciles us, but it's adopted us as sons and daughters of God. It's given us eternity. We don't have to face that judgment that I read to you there in Revelation 18. This is what it does. It illuminates us. It gives us revelation of what? The glory of God. That's what it does. He humbled himself. He emptied himself. He took on human form. And here they were crucifying God in the flesh. And God planned this before the foundation of the world. That we should be here today in fellowship, blessed by the presence of Almighty God. And he took the initiative. He opens our eyes. He gives us the wisdom to see. And finally, brothers and sisters, we cannot end without Galatians 6 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The cross has dealt with the world that had such a hold on your life, that you were going with the world into hell. This is what it's done, the mystery of the cross. He says that I am crucified to the world. By whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And that is why I've labored today, brothers and sisters, so that you can begin to understand why you too take up your cross daily and follow Christ. It is the power in your life, my life, which we need to make it through. The very power that raised Christ from the dead, the mystery of God, the Godhead there, raising him up, is the same power that works in your life and my life through that cross that we too daily take up and walk, that deals with that selfish life within us. What I want to do, putting my will before God's will. That is what the cross does. And it not only stops there, but it says that you boast in it. So God will let you boast. Oh yes, he'll let you boast, but only in one thing, the cross of Christ and the cross that I take up to and the marks that I bear by it. That is the only thing he will allow us to boast in. And what does the cross do? The cross divides. That is the answer. It is the answer to everything. It's the answers to what you want to know. It's the answers to FGA, why some are with us and some are not, and so on. This is it. It's not rocket science. The cross has made it possible for fellowship here today, in this room. It wouldn't happen otherwise. Praise God. So God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. It was there at the cross that I first saw the light and the burden of my sin rolled away. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for reminding us. Thank you for bringing us back to the center, to the root of everything. Lord, may we never forget this. May our lives be conformed to the standard that you her purpose through the power of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, you now make it possible for us. Help us, Lord, to decrease that you increase. Help us, Father, to get out of the way that the cross will do its work in our lives. We thank you, Father, that you are revealing the mystery to us by the Spirit. As the Spirit searches the deep things, the crevices of our heart. We do not know ourselves. We don't know our hearts, Father, unless you reveal, unless you open our eyes and ears and heart. And we thank you that you are. And so I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I thank you for this fellowship today. Bless, preserve and keep them. May the blood of the Lamb, may your ministering angels be charge over them. Preserve and keep them from the evil one, from temptations and the weaknesses that still are in their lives. May the cross empower them and cause them to triumph and rise up in victory. We thank you for this, Father. Thank you for our fellowship. And Lord, we bless and praise you. And one day we shall meet you face to face. And that's why we look up as our redemption draws near. Amen, amen.
You would have me, disaster. Let him in constancy fall.